good singing. Enjoy the singing of the great hymns. And it brought us back to those days when meetings were full and God was blessing and working. And of course, we pray for those days again, even in our time. We're reading together from the Word of God in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. And Paul, of course, is at Ephesus here. That's the context. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. The 20th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles and the verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I command you to God, commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that are with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him onto the ship. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, infallible, and inerrant word to all of our hearts. It's good to see so many boys and girls here this morning. And I usually speak a little word to the boys and girls, those of my own age group, of course. And I like to speak to the boys and girls. And so you've had a week, boys and girls, of snow. Now, I was up in Ballymena the other day and there was some snow about Ballymena, I can tell you. I was doing a visit up there in Ballymena. And so, boys and girls, you've enjoyed a week of snow. And boys and girls, most of them anyway, like the snow. And they like, of course, maybe a few days off school because they can't get into school because of the snow. That's even better, boys and girls, isn't it? For those of you who don't like school. And of course, you like to make a snowman. Where I live in Lisburn, well, there was a few snowmen being made around about outside where I live there during the week. It didn't last too long, never, but it was built at the time. Snow. And the Bible mentions snow, boys and girls, away over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 18, it mentions snow. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And boys and girls, we have all got a problem in our lives from birth. It's the problem of sin. Sin that stains us. Sin that is in our hearts, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners, boys and girls. But you know, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And so this morning, boys and girls, when you think about the snow, think about the fact of your sin. But the fact that your sin can be cleansed and made as white as snow. Snow is very white. You look out in the morning through the window. I just like to look out at it. I don't like to go out on it too much. But you look out and you see how white it is. And the Lord says, He'll take your sins away. And though they be scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. And so this morning, if you have never invited the Lord into your heart, then you invite the Lord Jesus into your heart this morning. And you'll be as white as snow. Simply pray, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And He will take all your sin away. May God bless all you boys and girls, families who have gathered here to worship this morning. Brother Sir Marshall will come and give the necessary announcements. Please.
I'd just like to warmly welcome all who join us this morning, whether you're joining us here in the building, in the car park, or in the side rooms, or indeed online. And we welcome to our pulpit this morning our brother, the Reverend Alan Smiley, is one of our retired ministers, and we look forward to our brother bringing God's word to us this morning. Again this evening, we'll have our prayer time before the service commencing at 5:45. And then our brother, the Reverend Smiley, will preach the gospel again this evening. Our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting will continue in the series the Reverend Stuart has begun in Ponderings in the Psalms. On Friday at 9 a.m., the Reverend Stuart will speak at the Diamond Primary School Assembly, so you can pray for him, our brother, there. 7 p.m., the children's meeting. 8 p.m. Youth Fellowship, the preacher there, Mr. Stephen Crawford, and the Reverend Stuart will be preaching at Market Hill Youth Praise Service on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, 10:45 a.m., Sunday School and Bible Class, 11:15 our prayer time, Family Worship Service, 12 noon, and our open air service next week at 3:30 down the main street, and that will be taken by Mr. Edmund Kilpatrick. Our prayer time again, 5:45. Our gospel service at 6:30. And the Reverend Stuart will preach at both these services next Lord's Day. A word of thanks to all who attended the Let the Bible Speak television recording on Monday evening. And we appreciate the effort that was made. It wasn't a fantastic night for travelling, but it was a very important work. And also just to say that there is an offering. Our Reverend Ray Kirskadden was here on Wednesday night, and that offering is open, and by means of retiring offering this morning for those who wish to give. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for the words of welcome. It's a joy to be with you today. And Somebody asked me, in fact, I've been asked so many times since I retired in September, how are you enjoying retirement? Well, I'm trying to find out what it is, because I've been looking after the church in Carrickfergus and the vacancy, and involved in prison work as well. That's continuing, and so we're continuing to do the service of the Lord, so we're busy doing the Lord's service, as most of our retired men are still active in the service of the Lord. But it's a delight to be here in Portland. Oh, it's a long time since I've been here. In fact, I didn't even know the way into the minister's room and into the pulpit. Brother had to show me. So that's a long time since I have been here. But we're delighted to be here this morning. And we trust the Lord will bless us again this evening in the gospel. 312. Presume you're lifting an offering, do you? No, it's at the door. Right, that's okay. Well, we'll stand then and sing 312. Some churches are doing this and others aren't, so just wanted to make sure. 312. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. We'll stand and sing together the words of this hymn before we come to God's word this morning. Gracious God and Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. My subject this morning is your testimony. Your testimony. Have you a testimony? This is a challenge to your heart. And to mine, have I a testimony? A testimony to the saving grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Able to tell clearly of that time when we came to Christ and experienced His saving grace in our lives. The Word of God says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so there has to be that evidence of conversion, that testifying, that speaking, that confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God indicates that we are living epistles, known and read of all men. And sometimes you're the only Bible that people read. And how important it is then to show forth Christ, the evidence of faith in our lives. Paul had a testimony. He was not ashamed to declare what the Lord had done for him. In the Bible portion before us here, in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, where we've read from, we have Paul speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He talks in verse 19 about serving Christ. He speaks in verse 20 about showing Christ. And then he speaks in verse 21 about speaking of Christ. Testifying, he says there, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he sought to testify the gospel of the grace of God, verse 24. He was preaching, you see, the kingdom of God, verse 25. And he could say then in verse 26 that he was pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And our business, dear friends, as believers in Christ, is to do the same. To get the word out. The word of the gospel to a dying world. The Great Commission is still the same today as it was in the first century. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1 and 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both, it says, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the Christian's witness and testimony is to be a simultaneous one right across the world. And so I want to speak this morning on the theme, your testimony. And I pray that God this morning, in the closing moments of this service, will write His word upon your heart. There are several things that I want to draw your attention to in relation to the subject this morning, your testimony. First of all, the basis of it. You see, it has to have a foundation. If it hasn't a good foundation, then it will not stand. It will crumble. And the foundation or basis of our testimony must be Christ. That was the case with Paul. And that is the case with every true believer. Every truly born again Christian. Twice over in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul related his testimony. You'll find those portions in Acts 22 and again in Acts 26. And he mentioned there on those occasions when he bore testimony of what happened on the Damascus Road in Acts 9. And what an encounter that was. It was an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a life-changing moment. in the life of Saul of Tarsus, as he was then known. Jesus of Nazareth met him. He said there in Acts 22:8, the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And the Lord met him, and the Lord saved him on the Damascus road. As the Lord met you this morning. Has the Lord saved you? Are you saved this morning? Have you had a Damascus road experience? Have you had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, thank God you can. Last Sunday was my birthday. Your ears are all pricking up already to find out what age you are. But let me disappoint you on that one. But all I'd say is I was saved on the 15th of January 1969. Now, you're all waiting for the punchline, aren't you? But I'm not telling you. Disappoint you. But there you are. That's how many years I'm saved. I had a Damascus Road experience. I met the Savior. And thank God you can meet the Savior this morning if you haven't as yet met him. And you see, on that occasion with Saul of Tarsus, Christ became the center of his life, and he became everything in his life. So much so that he said later, when writing to the Philippians, in chapter 1 of Philippians, in verse 21, he said, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You see, Christ was not only the center of his life, but Christ was his life. And again in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he said this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Listen, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ was living in him. And Christ is living in the life of every true believer. He's living in your heart today if you're saved. If you know Christ, you have Christ living in your heart. And if you don't know him, thank God he can live in your heart today if you will come to know him. In Acts 22, 3 to 5, if you read the portion there, he spoke of his early conduct, his Jewish credentials, his cruelty to Christians. But then he spoke in Acts 22, verses 6 to 16, of his wonderful conversion. And in his testimony, he spoke of meeting with Christ, of the miracle by Christ. And what was the miracle by Christ? Of course, it was the miracle of God's salvation. Salvation is a miracle. It's a miracle of God's grace. And in his testimony, Paul affirmed that Jesus of Nazareth was alive. He saw his glory. He heard his voice. You see, Christ was real to this man. He was real in his life. He knew the reality of God's salvation. If you're truly a Christian this morning, as you sit and listen to God's word, wherever you're listening, you can testify to the reality of God's salvation. The reality of God's salvation. And if you have a true testimony, if you're truly saved, Christ will be at the center of it all. He will be all of it. There'll be nothing of man, nothing of self. It's all of him because, as Jonah cried, salvation is of the Lord. It's all about him. When we go to Acts 26, which is the second portion where we read of Paul's conversion, his testimony. He's testifying this time. You'll see the context there. You can read it in your own time. He's testifying before King Agrippa. Verses 4 to 11. He talks there about, I lived a Pharisee. And then he talks in verse 13, I saw a light. I heard a voice. Of course, Christ was that light. The voice was the voice of God. What a clear testimony it was. What a Christ-exalting testimony it was. How he extolled the Lord from start to finish. You see, Christ was the basis of it. Is it so with us this morning? Is Christ the basis of your testimony? Is Christ the foundation of your life? Are you speaking of Christ? Are you testifying of Christ? That's the first thing, the basis of it. But the second thing I want to draw your attention to is the building of it. The building of your testimony. You see, Paul built his testimony over many years. It commenced with his conversion. And it continued through many temptations and trials and traumas and troubles and tears. But he also knew triumphs. And he grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as he continued to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You see this morning. And I want you to understand this, that discipleship is an essential element of building our testimony. For the Lord says, follow me. Follow me. Don't be following man. There's too many professing Christians today following man. Look into man. We are all human. We are all imperfect creatures. Don't be following man. The Lord says, follow me. Notice what he said to Agrippa in Acts 26:19. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. You see, when he asked there in Acts 9:6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He meant it sincerely. And when the Lord met him and the Lord saved him and the Lord directed him, he obeyed the orders immediately. He began right at the Damascus Road. And of course, it almost cost him his life. In those early days, in Acts 9:20-25, he testified to the Jews in Jerusalem. They attempted to kill him, Acts 9:29-30. And in spite of many discouragements and dangers, Paul remained obedient to the call and to the vision that God gave to him. Nothing moved him. Look at verse 20. Four of the portion we read from this morning, Acts 20. Right at the start of the verse. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He was not moved. He continued. Are you building your testimony for the Lord this morning? For the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is a wonderful example of doing this. But there was also real consolidation. Acts 26:22-32. And you will see there in verse 22 of that portion, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And you know, this was something that was clearly in evidence in the early church. There was this growth, this going on, this consolidation. Are you growing in your Christian life? Peter, in his epistle, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you growing? Are you going on with God? Look at Acts 2. The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Some words there I commend to you. Verse 42 of Acts 2. It says, they, that's those who were saved through the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost, for that's the context. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued. evidence of growth. Verse 46 of the same chapter. And they, that's the same people, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You see, they were continued. They were going on. They were going on with God, building their testimony. And Paul continued in his witnessing for Christ. In many ways, the word witnessing best summarizes the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Acts 26, verse 16. The 16th verse of the 26th chapter. He says, "Arise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister." This is the Lord speaking to Paul. He's relating what the Lord has done for him and how the Lord spoke to him. "To make thee a minister," listen, "and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." So, what does a witness do? Shares what they know. Tells what they know or what they have seen. And Paul simply shared with others what he had learned and experienced as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. His message was not something he manufactured himself. It was based solidly on the Old Testament scriptures. We must remind ourselves that Paul and the other apostles didn't have the New Testament as we have it today. They had just the Old Testament. But they used the Old Testament scriptures to lead sinners to Christ and to nurture believers in the faith. And of course, we have the benefit now of the whole scripture, both canons, the Old and New Testament, in our possession to use by means of witness and also to nurture new believers in the faith. And how vital it is, men and women, this morning to build a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you engaging in building a testimony for the Lord and your family? In the community where you live? In the workplace where you are? Where God has placed you? And let this church also as a body be a testimony for God in this place, for His glory. The building of the testimony. The third thing this morning is the bearing of this testimony. Bearing testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we mentioned Acts 1 and 8. It says there, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." That's what the Lord said in that book. Unto Christ. You see, our testimony is to be a Christ-centered testimony. It's not about us, it's about Christ. It's all about Him. Some preachers today and some even professing Christians, it's all about them, self-centered, self-promotion, all of that. It's the big I, as the man said, instead of the bent C. It's themselves and not Christ, in other words, if you see what I mean. Paul desired in Ephesians 6:19, he said, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." He wanted to bear testimony to a lost world. And in doing so, he said also in Galatians 6:14, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, our glorying must be in Christ. And the burden of Paul's heart was for lost souls. And this is why he sought to bear testimony that he might win them to Christ. Look at verse 21 of the portion we read, Acts 20, verse 21. "Testifying or bearing witness both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice the emphasis here in the verse. Testifying, repentance, faith, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to see these souls saved. He wanted them to repent. It is essential to salvation to repent of their sin, and he wanted them who exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See the great burden of Paul's heart? Look at Romans chapter 9. Book of Romans chapter 9, the opening verses there. I say the truth in Christ, verse 1. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He's a great burden for his own people. And then in verse 1 of chapter 10 of Romans, he said this, listen to the words, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Does such a burden prevail in our hearts this morning? Are you burdened for the lost? Are you burdened for souls in your family, in your community? In this town, this district? A burden to see men and women and boys and girls see it. The Lord wants us to go out into the streets and lanes of our cities and towns. He wants us to go out into the highways and hedges of our country districts and compel men and women to come in that they might be saved. Luke chapter 14. Are you and I bearing testimony where we are? By our lip and by our life. Are we signposts pointing people to Christ? Even those we diametrically disagree with. In many other things. And disagree about their lifestyle. And what they're doing. Yet we must lovingly present Christ to them. Not in a harsh manner. But in a loving manner. Speaking the truth in love. That we might win them for Christ. Bearing testimony. Think of the testimony borne by Peter and John. Acts 4:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ, because they saw Christ in them. I was reading about the saintly McSheehan, that great godly man who preached a very short ministry, but God mightily used him in Dundee, Scotland. And one man said of McSheehan when he got into the pulpit, it wasn't what he said. It was how he looked. You see, he manifested Christ. I say to you, brethren and sisters, this morning, that we might show Christ as these disciples did. Their testimony was borne faithfully and impacted upon those who heard it. May it be so with us, with this church too as a body. The fourth thing I want to leave with you this morning is the blessing of our testimony. We need a testimony that is blessed of the Lord. The apostles' testimony was such. You see, it had the very smile of divine approval. May it be so with us. If we have not the Lord's approval, the Lord's blessing, then all our testifying will be in vain. When Ananias went to Saul, among other things, he said to him in Acts 22:15, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." This was an indication of the blessing of the Lord upon him. The Lord would make him that witness. And we need that blessing too. You can see that with Peter. He was empowered with the Holy Spirit to witness. And what a witness he was. And what a testimony he became for the Lord. And how blessed he was of God. It was so with the early church too. Their witness was blessed, and God favored the church whom he had purchased with his own blood. And therefore the message of the gospel went out into the world. And other churches were formed, and souls were saved, and believers were edified, and there was growth, and there was glory brought to the name of the Lord. And how blessed the church was at Ephesus through Paul's testifying. We've read of that this morning here in Acts 20. People heard God's word through the lips of his servant. They were saved. Think too of Paul's witness there at Philippi, and the jailer and his household were saved. Again, Acts 16, at the riverside where Lydia was saved, her heart was opened. In Acts 10, Peter's ministry to the household of Cornelius. And though I, along with others, was hard to manage as a young lad in a Sunday school class, there was the testimony of a faithful Sunday school teacher in Ravenhill Presbyterian Church Sabbath School, where I went then. And I was blessed. That man was very patient. I can still visualize that man with the tears coursing down his face as he pleaded with that class of unruly boys, and I was one of them, to come to Christ. We were more interested in making fun of that man and making his life a misery. But he was faithful and fervent in his testimony to the other lads in that class. And thank God, later on I found Christ as my Savior. The blessing of the testimony of that man. Is your testimony blessed? Sunday school teacher, be encouraged to teach your class, that your testimony to them might be a blessing. And then I want to speak finally about the blighting of your testimony. You see, your testimony can be blighted by sin in your own life, by yielding to temptation and going the way of the flesh and compromising with the world. Paul said of Demas, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And how easily that can happen in the life of a believer. And never be too quick to criticize someone who falls. Because Paul said, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I met someone some time ago, and they told me the sad story of how they began. Became so involved in business, in the business world, and making money, their testimony became blighted. They lost out with God. And today they're backslidden. Your testimony can be blighted by compromise with the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. Be careful about your testimony. Careful. And of course, your testimony could be blighted by a false accusation. And look how Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph. And he suffered through it. But then the Lord turned it around. And he was blessed in a wonderful way. And they meant it for evil, as brothers, of course, in regard to what they did to him, too. But God meant it for good. But of course, we must guard our testimony to keep us from the flesh and from the world. Young people, keep in the company of those who are saved. I know that in the workplace you have to work with people, and other things in life we do with people and be a testimony. But remember, keep in the company of those who are Christians, those who love the Lord. That goes for us all, no matter what age we may be. That our testimony might remain true to Christ. That his name will be glorified in our lives in this dark world of sin. That our families and our friends, those in our schools, those in maybe if you go to university or some higher education place or wherever you are in the workplace, that your neighbors too will be brought to Christ. I live in a place where, as far as I can see, very few people go to church. But those neighbors are watching us going out to church, going out to the prayer meeting. They're looking at our lives. As we said earlier, maybe they're the only Bible. They're the only Bible they read. What about your testimony this morning? Are you saved? Have you got a testimony? If you haven't, thank God you can be saved this morning. You can call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have a testimony, guard it. Make it stronger. Protect it and preserve it for the glory of God. May God bless his word in our hearts this morning. Turning to the hymn number 316. 316 in our hymn book. And standing as we sing after the introduction, a trembling soul I sought the Lord. My sin confessed, my guilt deplored. How soft and sweet his word to me. I took thy place and died for thee. Page 304, hymn number 316. We'll stand as we worship the Lord together. please make your need known to us. We'll be happy to open God's word, point you to the one who can meet your need, or if you're a backslider, how you can come back to the Lord. May God bless you. Thank you for listening this morning, for your attention to God's word. May God bless you all as you leave his house this morning. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.